You have your Bibles, folks, if you could open them again at that chapter 5 of Ephesians. When I would be at weddings, and I've been at a few, there's always a verse I like to quote. It's from Ephesians 5, in the verse 25, and it reads, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." And I believe therein contains the gospel. The gospel that Christ loved the church. He loved the church. And he gave himself. He gave his life a ransom for his people, the church. As we come to this, we just ask the Lord to help us in a brief word of prayer. We pray that the Lord will apply the word of God to our hearts tonight, and that we might indeed take stock, all of us, whether we're saved or unsaved, that the word of God would bless our souls and our hearts tonight. Father, we thank thee again for thy word. We pray, Lord, you would bless it now to our hearts. We ask for grace. We ask for help. We ask for power. Oh God, give us power. We think of Nehemiah when he heard of the state of the walls that were broken down. It says he sat down and he wept and he mourned and he fasted. Such was his burden, such was his desire for the work of God. Oh, give us such a burden tonight. Help us, Lord, not to preach a dry, cold message, but Lord, may it be from our heart, may it be from our very soul. If there be any in tonight out of Christ that they might hear, that the word might speak and convict them of their sin, and even tonight bring them to the Savior, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Husbands, love your wives. That's good advice in any situation. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave, as I've said, he gave himself for the church. What is the church? We hear so much about going to church. We hear so much about the church building. But the church in the scriptures is the ecclesia, which is called out, or the called out ones. Those who have been called out of the world. Those who have been redeemed. Those who have been saved. And they've been called out of the world. That's the church. We may call this building the church, but technically that's not correct. The church meets within the church, the building. The building is only the building. The church is the people, the saved, those that love Christ, who are seated and gathered in this assembly tonight. We are the called out ones. When Israel was going through the wilderness, it talks about the church in the wilderness, the Old Testament. And so we see that the church is made up of saints, the believers of every generation, right back to Adam, I believe. It's not the building, but the saved ones who are met in it tonight, who met this morning, the redeemed of the Lord, those who are saved, washed in his blood, those who are justified. And you know, I was explaining to the children this morning, asked me the question, what does justification mean? Just as if we'd never sinned. The justified. God sees us tonight because of Christ, just as if we'd never sinned. We are sinners. We always will be sinners while we're on this earth. But we are judicially declared righteous before God because Christ has died for us. Christ died for his church. And I, this evening, stand before you as a sinner, yet in God's eyes I am declared righteous. I was having a time yesterday morning around the Word on my own. My wife, as women would do at Christmas, was away doing something, shopping, or in Belfast, and I had time to myself, and I was sitting and I was wondering at the beauty of salvation and what the Lord has done for us, and the many things lately, even in my own life, how the Lord has blessed. And I said to myself, I'm only a sinner. I don't deserve any of this. And all I could get in my mind was declared righteous. Righteous before God. a sinner like me. What a wonderful thing that is. What a wonderful thing to be saved, to be declared righteous. When I stand in that great judgment day before the Lord, I stand there as one who has been redeemed, and God declares me righteous because Christ has died for me. I wonder, this evening, has he died for you? Can you say tonight that you're declared righteous before God, even though you're a sinner? Judicially or legally declared righteous. Sinners who are saved, who are born again. And it's not by baptism. We talk about the church. There's the established church in our land. And they talk about baptism. Get the child baptized. Quickly get them to the font and get the water through over them. As one said to me in work, "It'll make you wetter, not a whit better." This salvation, this righteousness doesn't come through baptism. It doesn't come by money. Oh, you can have the greatest money. I remember one time, I think it was Frank Sinatra, who had offered the Pope something like $6 million to give him absolution from his sins. Wouldn't matter, you had $600 million. It wouldn't take one sin away. It's not by works. Oh, you can work. You can do your best. You can try. You can do loads of things you think for God, but it's not by works. It's not even by devotion. There are many through religion. Tonight we look across the world and we know all about it. We've seen it in our television screens, devoted to whoever their God might be, but it's not by devotion. And if you're gathered in this meeting tonight, I can stand before you and say, if you need to be saved, you need to get under the blood. You need to get saved. It's the only way to heaven. Are you saved? You know, it's a wonderful thing to come to a free church and to be able to say it. It always amazes me that I'm invited to a pulpit and the privilege of being able to stand here. And they ask the question, are you redeemed? Are you saved? Do you love the Lord and have the freedom to do that? Are you a child of God? Are you a sinner saved by grace? I tell you, there's nothing else in this world. There's nothing else important. Men spend years getting educated. Men spend millions getting business and getting all these sorts of things. I tell you, are you a sinner saved by grace? It's the only important thing there is in this world. This sounds very basic, and yet so many try another way. And make no mistake tonight, there's one way only, and it's faith in Jesus Christ through repentance. I work in Bombardier in Belfast, I'm sure I've told you before. I'm still there and I'm still working, and in the middle of maybe 500 men, I'll go there in the morning, and the area I'm in, there's about 500 men. And some of them know absolutely nothing of the gospel. They know nothing of Christ. And all you hear is about their nights drinking and their gambling and all that goes with that, and they've no interest in God. The church, it's a spiritual body, a living, vibrant body of believers. The Church of Rome claims to be the body of Christ, claims to be the church, claims to be the only church, and if you're outside of it, there's no repentance for you and there's no salvation there. With all its ceremonies and orders and baptisms and edits and masses, no, it was as Luther said those years ago, here I stand, I can do none else, God helping me. It's faith in Christ alone. The body of Christ is made up of men and women who are saved, washed in the blood, born again. The particular church I've just mentioned claim in Matthew 16 and 18 that Peter was the rock on which Christ would build his church. That would be one of the foundations of their belief. Remember, Christ said to Peter, "Thou art Peter Petros, a stone, a pebble, something that could be kicked about." But he said, "Upon this rock," and the rock was what Peter had said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Petra, different word. What Peter stated was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The church is not built on Peter. Christ said to Peter, "Blessed art thou." But the church is not built upon Peter. The church is built on Jesus Christ, the rock. Anyone or any church that takes you away from Christ and points you to a system is an imposter. Our only hope for heaven is salvation in Christ alone, looking only to Him. As I say, it sounds basic, but how vital in these days in which we live. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good enough. The best man who ever lived will never get into heaven unless he's in Christ. Look to Christ tonight. We're only the sinful sons of Adam's fallen race. Look away from man tonight. Look away beyond man and what any man can do for you, for they'll only let you down. At the end of the day, the church, as I've said, is a spiritual body, living body of believers. The world, the Protestant world in name only, bow to her sin, that's the sin of Rome, and do so and become part of her condemnation. Where did the church start? Well, the church did not come into existence at Pentecost, as some today would believe, but rather right back to the very first soul who was ever saved, right back to the garden, I believe. Saved and filled by a spirit. The church, as I've said, is a living body. Right back to the garden. Right back into the Old Testament. Men have always been saved and filled by His Holy Spirit. Then they just simply look forward to Calvary in the future through the sacrifices, through the lamb that was sacrificed and slain in the tabernacle. They've seen in the distance a picture of Christ. Believing in the merit of the Lamb's blood, a type of Christ. We think of Abel and how the Lamb, God had said to sacrifice the Lamb and bring it. And so he did, and he's seen there a picture of Christ in the shed blood. We see Isaac when he was placed upon the altar of sacrifice. And God says, "My son, God will provide a Lamb." And tonight, we can say that even there, away back those thousands of years, they looked forward to Christ, just as we look back. The Church of Jesus Christ. Christ is the only hope for this world. With all the fighting and all the wars and all the rumors of wars, Christ is the only hope. Christ says in Matthew 16 and 18, "I will build my church." And sometimes we get down, and sometimes we seem to have gone through a time when nobody's getting saved and things are hard. Churches are closing. Doors are being shut. And yet Christ says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He says in Acts 2 and 47, the Lord added to the church daily. What a blessing that must have been. In Acts 20 and 28, he says, "Feed the church of God, the believers, the called out ones." One church, one body. Made up of souls saved of all ages. What is the church's purpose? Well, its purpose is to preach. Its purpose is to preach the gospel. To tell men and women they need to be saved. In the psalm, a beautiful psalm 126, he says, "He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." To the believer tonight, have we that passion, that burden in our heart to go forward? All we've got to do is give the seed. The seed is the Word. And the Word goes into the soil and springs up into the corn or whatever. Or in the Spirit, it brings forth fruit. The souls of men and women. Doubtless come again, rejoicing. Unsaved men and women. Men and women today, and I know, have wept over you already today if you're not saved. Should you come to this church or any other of her churches, men and women have prayed for you. Men and women care for you, for your souls. When trouble comes, as it did after the Lord was crucified at Calvary, the disciples met together. They could have dispersed. They could have run away. It was a dangerous thing, maybe even for them to get together in one place. But they came together in the upper room. On the first Lord's Day in John 20 and the verse 19, why did they meet together? For fellowship. Why does the church meet in a building as this? For fellowship. The church met. What happened? It says that Jesus came and stood in the midst. Where the called out ones meet in a building, the Lord meets with them. What did he say to them? Peace. That's the world's looking for today. Here we have the Lord Jesus to this group of disgruntled believers who were fearful. And the Lord says, peace be with you. Problems, troubles, he gives peace. The world searches for it and can't find it, but Christ gives peace. Are you troubled tonight? Have you a troubled soul? Are there things that you can't seem to do without? You're addicted to? The Lord says, peace I give unto thee. How did he do it? He showed them his hands and his feet. Yes, he brought them to Calvary. He brought them to the cross. Their hearts and their minds were fixed in him, fixed in Christ. The nail-pierced hands, the sword-riven side, the blood of Christ, he shows them. They fix their hearts and minds in him. What about you tonight? What about you, believer in trouble? Do you come to him? What about the unsaved? Would you look? Would you trust in him? Would you accept him? He is here. He is speaking in your heart. I remember sitting in Portavogie some 36 years ago. I could take you to the very seat where I sat. And I remember the Lord speaking to me. Speaking in my heart and telling me that I was a sinner. Telling me that there was nothing righteous about me. He was right. I remember looking and asking the Lord Jesus to come into my heart. What a day that was. But I spoke in my heart and he convicted me. Yes, in the midst of grief and of trouble, it says they were glad. These disciples were glad because the Lord was there. And they had joy in their heart in the midst of their trouble, in the midst of their despair. What did they need? They needed power. What does this church need? What does the free church need today? It needs power. It needs the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to go and to preach. Sometimes we fill our head with all sorts of stuff. And you know, preach the gospel. Preach Christ. Peace for troubled souls. Northern Ireland's full of troubled souls. I know Portavogie is. I'm sure Ballymoney is. Christ shows his nail-pierced hands and feet side. Peace I give thee. One man wasn't there. Remember Thomas? He missed out. You know it's not good to miss out, brethren and sisters. We don't want to be missing when the Lord comes and when the blessing comes. Every time the church meets, be there. Be there if possible. But with the Lord there is mercy. And a week later, he shows Thomas, who he was missing. Now he's here a week later. The Lord doesn't, in a sense, chastise him. But he shows him again the wounds in his hands and side. And he says, touch them. Put your finger in the wounds. Look at the nail prints. What a blessing for Thomas. My Lord, my God. With the Lord there is forgiveness. What about you? Tonight, if you're not saved, will you reach out and touch him? You remember the woman with the issue of blood? And how she came and she wanted to get to the Lord. And she had to push her way through the crowd and there was obstacles in front of her. She didn't stop. She pushed and she shoved. And she got right in there and she reached forward and she touched him. Just like Thomas, when he reached and put his finger into the hands and the wounds on the Savior's hands. What about you tonight, unsaved? Will you reach and touch him? Will you touch him tonight? The church is a witness. We're vital ambassadors for Christ. We may not be liked, but we are his witnesses. How do I witness for Christ? I show my changed life. Saved. I remember going on outreach. And it was in Grey Abbey. If you've ever been in Grey Abbey. And I was walking down the street with the minister and with gospel tracts. And a fella who had went to school with some 10, 15 years before. He looked at me. And I spoke to him. And he went to the minister when I went away. And he says, and by the way, my name's Samuel, but people call me Doe. That's another story. I'm only saying that to tell you what this young man said. And he turned around to the minister and he says, is that Doe Beattie? He says, it couldn't be. That boy could never be saved. you witness by your life, by your walk, by your testimony. I am a witness for Christ tonight. To think that I would ever stand in the pulpit and preach Christ. As a result of that night, some 36 years ago, 4th of November 1979, when I gave my life, my all, to Him, a filthy, depraved sinner, saved by the grace of God. Wonderful, wonderful salvation. We ought to tell it more. As a body, as a group, as a church, we witness. As one, we are many, but we are one. What about you tonight? Are you inside the church? Not the building. Are you in the church of Christ tonight? Are you saved or are you on the outside looking in? Our witness, if we're saved, to the believer tonight, our witness is how we come to church. We're seeing how we come from our home and our cars. As we walk, we're seeing how we conduct ourselves. We're seeing how we live in the town that we live in. How we keep the Lord's day. How we live in our family. We're watched every day of our lives. We're witnesses for Christ. Many want this church to feel. By this church, I mean the whole denomination. But our witness is to go forward, to serve, to speak, to preach Christ. To preach Him in this town of Ballymoney. Men see how we love one another. It should be. That's how they tell if you're part of the Church of Jesus Christ, by how you love one another. This is our witness. God loves the church. God loves the body of believers contained in this building who are saved. We who are saved, the church, the called out ones, we talk about Him. We tell others of Him. We represent Christ. I remember some many years ago when I went to, as we said, big school, and you had to wear a blazer. And on the blazer was a badge. And the one I went to in Newton Arch had this big yellow badge. You couldn't miss it. And I didn't like wearing the blazer. But when you put the blazer on, you were a different person because you represented the church or the school that you went to. And then it was a different proposition if you were seen where you shouldn't have been seen, etc., etc. But the example is that you put on Christ, you represent Him, you represent the church. And you're seen of men. You show others our Savior through our lives. Lives that have been changed. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Brother, sister, imagine that. As we're allowed, permitted the gospel to preach it. What a responsibility. What a thing tonight. To be able to preach Christ. I don't mean even just from this pulpit. As you meet people through the week, you're allowed by God to preach the gospel to them, that you may win them for Him. Not as men pleasers, but God which trieth our hearts. The church is allowed of God to be put in charge of this wonderful, marvelous gospel that can take a soul who's bound for the caverns of the doomed and the damned, and bring them to Christ in the light of the gospel. The church witness to you tonight, unsaved. I hope you see Christ in us. I hope you see Christ in me tonight. We don't water down the message to suit opinion or just to please. We are warned, we are commanded to tell you the truth, to tell you the gospel, and not be hiding it. Oh, I've heard them all at funerals and weddings and wherever we go, and we hear the gospel being hid through accommodation and men pleasers. The gospel offers you tonight redemption. It offers you life. Life that's worth living. Isaiah 53 tells us, for the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Remember Mr. Douglas saying that there's our sin. There's the Lord. He takes the sin and He lays it on Him. Oh, my sin was laid upon Him. Jesus bore it on the tree. Tells us the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The whole church, all our sin, all of us who are saved, is laid upon Christ, our great burden bearer. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Do you know that tonight? Have you ever thought that tonight? That your sin could be laid on Christ, the great sin bearer, the one who took away the sin of all his people. What a wonderful thing that is tonight. Wounded for our transgressions. The blessed Lamb of God was wounded for me. Wounded for me. In our place, he stood, bearing our sin. What about you tonight? As you're faced again with the challenge of the gospel, what are you going to do with it tonight? Are you going to throw it back in his face again? Will you turn your back again? Are you almost persuaded again? Listen, almost is lost. Lost. The church, as I've said, met together that first Lord's Day for fellowship, and I can say they were never the same again. Men changed, lives changed forever. Why? Because they were filled by the Spirit of God. They as a church did not put themselves first, nor their own welfare, nor their own selves. Even in their danger of their lives, they were together. The love of Christ, the gospel overcomes every obstacle. Unsaved, it pulls down obstacles and barriers that prevent you getting to Christ. Get into Christ. Get into this wonderful church. Come and worship him. Come with us, the Bible says. We will do you good. We meet this night to worship, to pray, to preach. Christ loves his church because all who belong to it are members of his body. This is a mystical mystery tonight. All the grace and all the glory the church has are from Christ. It's not from any good person in the church. It's not from our best preacher. It's not from our moderator. It's not from anybody in the church. The glory of the church is Christ and Christ alone. We who are saved say to you unsaved, what about you tonight? Are you outside still? Do you know him? The Bible says, and a portion of the word, it says, who is this that cometh up from Edom? Edom was the place, the wilderness, the hard place. It's depicted in some by some people as a place of sin. It says, who is this that comes up out of Edom, leaning on his beloved? It's the church. It's the church of Christ coming out of a world of sin, leaning upon Christ. This is all the church does. It just simply leans, throws itself upon Christ, the great burden bearer. The church is precious. Malachi 3:17, and it says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. We, the church, are the jewel of the Lord. We're precious. Hard to think, you know. As I sat there yesterday and the Lord blessed me for about 15, 20 minutes. And when I thought of the blessings I had, as I already said, I couldn't understand how a sinner like me could ever have blessings like that. And to be called the jewel of the Lord. It's hard to grasp. Do you love him? Do you know him? Christ is the head. You go anywhere where they put a man in Christ's place, get out of it. Christ is the head. We are the body. We who are saved. Acts 20:28, he hath purchased us. He has bought us with his own blood. He bought us. He paid the ransom. He gave himself a ransom for his people. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hard to take it in. What happens when the church was filled with the Spirit? Acts 2:41, the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Oh, for Spirit-filled men in our pulpits again. Brethren, we are his body if you're saved. We are the joints, the arms, the legs. Christ is the head. We are here to witness, to fellowship, to work, to preach, to present Christ. It's not popular, and we are not perfect, but we are part of him, part of the Lord, part of this great work that has stretched right back to the very garden. The glory of the church will be seen on that great day. And the bride, that is the church, is presented to the Father. What a day that's going to be. We're looking forward to that day. Spotless, pure, washed in the Savior's blood. What a day that will be when we see Jesus. Ephesians 1 and 22 says, when he hath put all things under his feet. See what's going on the TV screens? See the arrogance and the pride of those who would lift their hands against law and order. He shall put all things under his feet. And give him to be head over all things to the church. See, it's all about Christ. It's all about him. No more opposition on that day. No more persecution. No more pain. Christ, our most valuable treasure, is there. Deuteronomy 4, 14 and 2 says, for thou art a holy people. In the Sunday school this morning, that was the sanctification, was the other word. Trying to explain this sanctification, this holiness of God. We who are sinners, yet in God's eyes, we have to be holy, separate, set apart for him. That's how we live. Unto the Lord thy God, the Lord thy God hath chosen you to be a peculiar people. Many think we are peculiar in the wrong sense of the word. Peculiar unto himself, above all the nations that are upon the earth. You know, it really is wonderful to be part of the body, part of the church, part of this wonderful, living body of Christ. Wonderful. It says he loved the church and gave himself for it. Precious the church has saved. Christ alone. If you're not saved tonight, if you'll not bow the knee to him, now you will one day. One day you will bow the knee to Christ before him in judgment. What an awful day that is. You know, thinking about the saved. I was reading, I think it was Matthew Henry, and he was talking about the end of the world. From Revelation, he took the picture of the church walking up, as it were, the avenue of heaven. All the believers from every age, and Christ at its head. And he takes the church and he presents it to his Father. What a day. What a day. Spotless, pure, washed, covered in the Savior's blood. Present it spotless to the Father to dwell in glory forever. Do you want to be part of that? You must come to Christ. You must repent of your sin. In Revelation 6, it says, when John looked up into heaven, he seen a lamb as it had been slain. A lamb with the wounds upon it. Even in heaven, it is Christ alone who is the glory of the church. It is Christ who is seen in Revelation as the bridegroom. The church is the bride, as we've said. In Revelation 21 and 9, it says, come, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Church, you and me, that's a privilege. What a day that will be. What a scene. Revelation 21 and 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and every knee to him shall bow, and God himself shall be with them and be their God and dwell with them. Christ alone in all his beauty. Do you see it tonight? Have you seen even something of the beauty of Christ, his loveliness? Him says, oh, come, let us adore him. Yes, the church has a head, and it's not a man, it's not a pope, it's not a moderator, it's not a bishop. It is Christ and Christ alone. It is built on Christ the rock. And I can say tonight, as I stand here before you, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Calvary was a place of torture and pain. But I can say tonight, thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Because Christ bore my sin and the sin of all the church of every age. Every sin he bore upon his body, upon the tree. You know, when the devil approached Christ at the end, as it were, when he was upon the cross, He couldn't kill him. But Christ stepped into death for you and for me. Christ gave himself. He willingly stepped into death. The wages of sin is death. Christ had no sin. But he willingly stepped into death for you and for me. He suffered in his own body. Let us always remember, if you're saved, wherever we are, whatever we say or whatever we do, we are witnesses for him. We can show the world Christ. That should be the duty of every one of us, from Sunday school age right up to the oldest man in here, to be a witness for Christ. How do you, unsaved, become part of this body, part of this wonderful church, this wonderful thing called salvation? This body, repent. Repent. Repent of your sin. I can see it yet the night abide. I spoke about it. And I was able for the first in my life to say, yes, Lord, forgive me for all that sin. I'm turning from it. I'm going to live for you. And he did. And he saved me. How do you become part of the body? Repent. Don't go out tonight again. If you're not saved, if you're not sure, make sure tonight that you are in Christ and that you can go and call him your Savior. Throw yourself upon his mercy for Christ's sake this very night. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to all our hearts tonight. We trust, I think I've kept it inside the time, so I just pray that the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts tonight.